Good morning, Nick.
Good morning to Karel. It's a pleasure to see you.
Now, let me first introduce myself, I guess, and then I'll introduce Nick, and I'll let Nick do most of the talking for the start. But yeah, my name is Karel Mergel, and I'm a digital marketer. I was forced into digital marketing by out of necessity because tried to start a couple of businesses, and what happened was in each one I realized I need leads. And in order to have leads, I need to market myself. And what best way to do it than online, because it's an alive, living and developing platform. And this is, where everybody is, most people, and most people, more people, more and more people are switching into the online. So here we are. I mean, we're working online. And at the end, after going through a bunch of platforms, I finally settled for LinkedIn because I think it's the only B2B platform that makes sense. And Nick's been building it. That's how we met. He's in Kenya. I'm in Bloomington, Illinois currently. Yet we communicate and cooperate and help each other out. I mean, just the other day, Nick was asking me something about websites, and I asked Nick about things. And so, if you want to really go global and diverse, the most modern world, be diverse, well, go online because you get to meet people from all corners of the world. And Nick has been building his LinkedIn for the last year or so. He's actually built it up to about at that 10,000, is it 11,000 now?
12,000 today.
Oh, today hit 12,000. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, thank you.
So his group on LinkedIn is alive and well and growing exponentially, I would say. Now it's becoming viral, yeah, this is why I had him here, and this is why I want him to talk to you and tell you about his journey, which is a word I really love. But yeah, the AI infamous world a word. But anyway, so from Kenya, here is Nick, and let him tell you about his story, how he was forced into LinkedIn marketing, because I know it's an interesting one. Because he wasn't born thinking, oh, I'm going to become a LinkedIn marketer or influencer.
Absolutely, absolutely. Nobody was born thinking about LinkedIn. Some of us just knew about it the other day. But before I get started, I would like to welcome everyone on this space. Good morning, good evening, good night, depending on the time that you're joining us. As you have heard from Karel, my name is Nicodemus Oduor-Were. Many people know me as Nick on LinkedIn. So I kind of got to know about LinkedIn just the other day. I was introduced to it by a friend. So I kind of joined LinkedIn out of peer pressure because I saw someone sharing opportunities on how to get job on LinkedIn. So I became curious because I was job hunting and I saw my friend really thriving very, very well there. I get to join LinkedIn. This was somewhere around 2019. And when I came, I found like some sort of a hostile and audience. And I found that this thing is not it's not something that I can thrive very well in. I decided to quit. I took a long break until last year, around a time like now, April, when I was actively again job hunting. I tried to apply some jobs here and there on LinkedIn. Luckily, I got some invitations for interviews. I went and secured another job interview to the next phase, and finally landed a job. After getting the job, like many people, I quitted LinkedIn. But you find that the job didn't really go well with me because you find that if getting a job is one thing, but building your own personal brand is another thing. So when I finally see things didn't go well for me with the job that I got, I decided to come back here last year, September, and ever since I've never stopped building on LinkedIn. So today I just hit the milestone of 12,000 followers on LinkedIn. The other day, got recognized among the top 20 most influential LinkedIn creators in Kenya. I emerged as number 10, and the journey has been good. So far, so good. And I'm really excited of people that I'm meeting every new day. People like Karel, we've never met personally, but on spaces like this, like LinkedIn, a platform like that enabled us to connect with other people from all over the world. So I urge everyone to be focused on their own unique journey and get to build together with us in platforms like LinkedIn. I mean, I'll be excited to share more about you, about how my journey has been with you. Thank you, Karel.
No, great. But about the brand, what why did you decide to just why do you think, or give us your take on the brand? Like, you know, you said, no, I because I know, remember when we talked, you said, you know, I realized I first before I, because how old are you, by the way?
I'm 26, entering 27 by November this year.
Right.
Yes.
And you said your objective is to have a family and stuff, right?
Yes, later on.
Because you said first you got to do what before you start a family?
I want to build something for myself, building my own personal brand.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking. That's what I was asking about. So basically, you've chosen the path of building your own personal brand, and then getting on with your life. And something like kind of almost like my son is going to college currently. So he says, you know, first I want to get a degree, then I want to get established in life, and then I'm going to think about family. Kind of a similar mindset there. Yeah, yeah. And so, but instead of, you're not going to college, or did you attend college? Did you get any form of
college education? I attended to college and did more about some computer study application. And after that, I just went fully into job hunting, because in my country, unemployment rate is very, very high, and jobs are very, very scarce. So the earlier you get into the job market, the better for you. So I luckily got to secure some great jobs, but they didn't last because of a lot of office politics. And that's why I decided to embark on a journey like this, where I can get to build something for myself. And that is a personal brand.
Right. And so now tell us, how do you go about it?
Yeah, so how to go about it? Number one, I identified a platform like LinkedIn. In as much as there are many platforms out there, but I believe LinkedIn makes a lot of sense compared to others. We have platforms like X, we have platforms like Facebook, but based on the kind of content being shared around, I found like LinkedIn stood out from the rest. So number one, everyone in this space, they should know for a fact that they are brands on their own, whether they are aware of it or not. So a brand is something that people know you for when you're not around. Like when they mention your name, what pops in their mind is what your brand should really represent. So for myself, I'm a digital marketer just like you, but I tend to focus more on SEO. So currently, when somebody comes to LinkedIn, and maybe in Kenya, and they get to mention my name, Nicodemus Oduor-Were, what will come in their mind, number one, is something to do about digital marketing. And when they need down deeper, you find that they'll be talking about SEO, search engine optimization. So this I've been doing for quite some time, 3 years now, and I've managed to accomplish some number of projects for clients that got satisfied. And coming to the start of this year, I decided I need to take this thing a notch higher. And that's when I decided to launch my startup, my own digital marketing agency called Iconic Digital Marketing. And I thank God, because the reception that I have gotten in the market based on the brand that I had built has been quite impressive. Currently, I'm managing a small team of 3 people. We are all working remotely, and we are having like 5 clients. 3 of them are in Kenya, and 2 of them are out of Kenya. One in Ghana, and the other one is in the US. And I'm really excited of where this will take me, because a startup like mine, we're in our 4th month right now, because I launched this at the beginning of the year. It was on 1st January 2024. And you find that the pace that we have picked in the market right now, based on the brand that I had built, is something that is very, very remarkable and impressive. So going onwards, I'm very excited. And I'm certain, based on the foundation that I have built my brand on, we'll be able to get somewhere. You find that my name, as Nicodemus Oduor-Were, is more famous and a bit recognizable. It has got a lot of authority compared to the brand that I'm building. So I'm using the leverage of my name to build my own brand in the industry of digital marketing agency. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, as for me, I started at the life and health insurance industry. And so I started a company under a certain name. And then that, you know, Globemer. And then I was like, well, okay, I need to build a digital marketing kind of a place to get the contacts. And so that's how I got to NC Web Dev. But then at the end, I ended up just building on LinkedIn under my name. Because exactly, I mean, you got to tie your name to an expertise, and then it doesn't matter what you call your company.
Yes.
You know, I mean, most people invest a lot of money into, I have to have this perfect company name, and then I have to have this perfect design logo with this perfect design branding kit and stuff. And I'm like, no, I'd just rather be positioned first as an expert, and then build a project from that, you know, build a company from that. So right now it's like we're using the logo, me and my team, same way. We're using the company name NC Web Dev. But yeah, you know, who knows what the name is going to be in a year or two. But what's not going to go away is the LinkedIn brand that I'm building now. And say same way with you. I mean, your name will, you know, if tomorrow you change the company name to, you know, Kenya Solutions, then, you know, it doesn't matter. You're still going to be Nick and people will still go to you. And, oh, that's Nick's company.
You know.
It's not about Nick works for Kenya Solutions. That's that big company. It's going to be, oh yeah, Kenya Solutions. Oh, yeah, that's Nick's company. And they'll look you up on LinkedIn and they'll know who's behind the project.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and that gives the project a lot of trust.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great. And what do you do on a daily basis? How much time do you spend a day on LinkedIn?
I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn because most of the leads that I get, I can say almost 100%, 90% thereabout, I get all the leads from LinkedIn. So which means, where do I spend most of my time? I spend most of my time on LinkedIn, creating content, engaging with other creators, trying to pitch to my ideal client profile. And I find that all this time, I cannot say there's a minimum amount of time I spend in a day, but every chance I get, I'm usually active on LinkedIn, trying to tell my clients more about what I do and how I can give value to them. So in a day, I can say upwards of 10 hours in a day.
10 hours in a day.
Okay. Sometimes more than that.
But that's not constantly just typing and writing and stuff. It's just like you're just in touch with LinkedIn for 10 hours a day.
Yes, that's right.
And how much do you spend on content creation?
Content creation, at the start, I used to struggle a lot with creating content. But one funny thing is that the more you do something, the better you become at it. So nowadays, I cannot even spend a lot of time trying to create content. I can just be sitting just take some 10 minutes, and already I'll have come up with a content that I'll be sharing tomorrow. So what do I do? This content that I have created, I don't wait for tomorrow for me to post. I just go to the LinkedIn scheduling tool, and then share the content and then schedule it for the time that I want it to go live the following day. So for right now, one thing that has been consistent with me on LinkedIn, I used to post at 8:30 East African time, but right now I shifted to 30 minutes later, and every single day at 9 a.m. EAT, I have to schedule my content to go live. So it doesn't matter the time that I schedule the content. Sometimes I may be overwhelmed with a lot of activities, some client appointments. Maybe I'm attending some events, networking events. In fact, that I may be late. But one thing that I ensure that I remain constant, the content that I share must be coming live to my audience at around 9 a.m. I can say I have been having some issues with the algorithm lately with it, because sometimes I get busy, maybe I delay a bit, and this really has affected my impressions. For people that have been following me closely, the impressions that I'm having right now, the engagement, are not the same way with the one that I had some 2-3 weeks ago. Even that it has been slashed by almost 50%. But that does not deter me from keeping going, because I understand that the mission is one. For me to establish myself as an authoritative figure in the area that I am in. And I am glad I am doing very well despite the challenges. I know that tough times don't last, but tough people do all the time. So I'm excited of what the future holds for me, and I'll keep keeping on.
Yeah, no, I mean the time is time is uncompromising with all of us. Absolutely. You know, it doesn't ask questions; it just goes on.
Absolutely, absolutely, all the time.
Oh, you're sick. Doesn't matter. That's how I lost all of Sunday. I fell sick with some stomach flu, and I just wasn't able to get out of bed other than to run to the bathroom. So, and I was like, no, I'm not doing content. I'm not doing even commenting. I'm not even doing anything. So basically, from Saturday afternoon to Monday morning, I was unavailable, period. And then, yeah, I could see the, you know, of course, the impressions and everything else. Still had some, but, you know, it just goes down because you don't put in the time, you're out. And nobody asks if you're sick or not. That's where the scheduling comes in handy. Although I did read a couple of things about scheduled posts actually getting, like, less impressions than ones that you post. But at the end of the day, you know, scheduling is better than than not having anything
all at all. That matters is consistency. You know, you can be trying to avoid scheduling because you are fearing of how they're supposed to perform, but consistency is way much important than you feeling about some few impressions. So me, when I know that I'm very, very busy and I cannot keep up with the time, I do schedule the post, and I can even do it sometimes like today for the post that will go live tomorrow. And it has really served me very, very well. Sometimes I can be having some crazy weeks, like 2 weeks ago when my post impressions started going down. The fact that I was doing a lot of traveling. I was moving from one part of the country to another, going to meet some clients, some friends, trying to have some time for myself. So I felt that these things, nobody cares whether you are trying to connect with family or even going to meet clients. All they care is about the content that you share every single day. And that's why scheduling comes handy. So sometimes consistency is better than you trying to worry about some few pressures that you're going to lose on the way.
Exactly. No, and then it's like we struggle with that with my son on YouTube as well, because I had an issue with him now because we were talking about it just this week. He says, you know, he loses sort of the faith to post on YouTube now. I mean, he does a YouTube short video every day for like a year now. And he says, you know, last week or so, you know, I just can't come up with anything that would get more than a couple of hundred views. And in the past couple of months ago, I used to get thousands of views on the same topics and same everything. And I says, you know, I was like, yeah, I know it's tough, but don't worry about the views. Just keep posting the content and keep tweaking it, because things maybe don't work 1 week, then it's maybe could be the wrong timing, could be the wrong audience, people could be away, you know. But if you keep posting, and what happens, especially on YouTube, and LinkedIn started doing this now too in their algorithm, is they start promoting or pushing, boosting your old content in the feeds as well. So something that did maybe well, or maybe they know it should have done better, let's say a content from a month ago, and it didn't do so well for you. And this is on YouTube, this is a big thing. And I'll talk about that. But on LinkedIn, it's the same thing now. I start seeing a lot of content from creators that maybe didn't do so well back then for me even. And now it's being pushed. I think there was one post that was pushed by LinkedIn like a week later. All of a sudden, there was like so many more impressions out of nowhere. And I'm like, but this is like a week old content. But LinkedIn just pushes that because it picks it. It says, well, okay, well, today I feel this may work better. And so they'll push it. And on YouTube videos, for example, we had a YouTube video where actually there's one that I did in the beginning, like a year ago, something about Google, setting up Google business page. And it was a video we did on a short, and I think it was in either March or May or something of last year. And all of a sudden now it's getting like 5-6 views every single day. A year old video, but for some reason it got caught in the algorithm, it got picked up, and you still get the visibility. So if you give enough of a portfolio, like exactly what you're saying, is then you're going to see the impressions, they're going to come, and you're going to see the people, and you have the content that people can come to, and it's got to be enough variety, but not variety like one day you talk about dogs, the next day you talk about, you know, weapons, and then you talk about how to bake a cake.
You're very right, absolutely. Because when you're building a brand, you're supposed to be specializing in one area and be consistent about it. When you're sharing today about, let's say, digital marketing, tomorrow you're sharing about how to be a great maybe copywriter, the other day you're sharing about how to be a good tutor, you'll be confusing your audience. So that consistency is very, very important. You need to be, what you need to be doing, when you find that one type of content does not work very well, you can be tweaking it. Just like you say, you can be shifting from the time that you're posting, maybe try some other time, maybe some one thing that I even see that is working for people, they get to engage the audience that they are sharing content with. You can create something like a poll, and then maybe you ask these people, what time do you think, or what type of content do you think will really resonate well with, or maybe they want more of. So when they just vote there and maybe say a certain type of content will really go a long way with them, it can easily to give you some great pointers that you're going to use and creating the future content for you to make it more appealing to the audience that you're trying to address. So it really does work all the time. Nobody has the single answer for everything that works. What might be working today might not work the following week. So every time you need to be testing and experimenting the different format that gets to perform better in the market.
Yeah, and even on the video, I mean, we're creating it now. There's a couple of people live. I'm watching it on the phone. I'm monitoring it. It gets somewhere between 6, 9 live viewers. Sometimes it goes up more stuff, whatever. But what happens is it stays on the platform, and this goes on our YouTube channel as well. And so the advantage of all this is, like, we're not creating it. I mean, we're creating it for the live audiences, which, by the way, if anybody has any questions, feel free to leave a comment because I'm watching this here. But that's one thing is that you're creating the content and it stays there. And the people can now watch this video on Sunday. You know, it doesn't matter because many people can't just, you know, the hardest thing for me was when I was doing this first one a couple of weeks ago was with Dayan, with Jamie and my son. It was four of us. And the biggest problem, and we talked about that again, we're going back to the time, is to catch everybody at one place at one time. That's why going live is great because everybody gets the notifications. And whoever's joining us now, it's great. I'm happy to have you guys here. But we're not only doing it for the live audiences, we're doing it for the ones that will watch it on a rerun. And if it's interesting enough, people will come back and watch it. And then you watch the impressions on the videos and they come. They literally, I look at some of the back stuff and I think the first one got like 1,000 or 1,200 impressions the first one that we did was got like, I think 12 impressions during the live time, like that day. But then a week later, I got another 500 impressions because people came back and watched it again or LinkedIn offered it to somebody. And Jamie was only able to, it was a 2-hour event almost. And Jamie was only going to be there for 20 minutes. So he just joined in halfway through and then he had to go to another meeting. My son had to go to class. So it's always difficult to get your entire audience in one place at the same time.
Very difficult, very difficult. That's not possible. You find that even when you're trying to create content, the same content that will work very well on LinkedIn might not go well on X or maybe any other platform. So you need to tailor the content that you share based on the platform. Even, for instance, in the world of marketing, from the marketing perspective, when you're trying to share one content on Facebook and you fail to change anything and tweak anything, and then come and share the same content on another platform, maybe Instagram, you find that the reception will not be the same. So tweaking and customizing your content based on the audience you're trying to address, you find that it's very, very important and goes a long way. For instance, you find that Facebook and Instagram, they are more into B2C, business to customers. And LinkedIn and X, they're more into business to business. So the way that you are supposed to be addressing this content, you're supposed to be having it at the back of your mind and know that for sure, whatever I'm sharing will perform very well in X. And this thing, maybe when I get to share on a platform like Facebook, it won't go the same way. So I guess it is the same way with what we are saying here. When you're trying to address everyone, most of the time you find that you'll be addressing like only a small percentage of the entire population.
Yeah, no, it works great. And what kind of content works best for you on LinkedIn? What do you find works best?
There are three types of content that I found that work best for me on LinkedIn. Number one, I find that inspiration posts go well for me when I get to inspire people how they can get to approach their day-to-day life. Maybe when they're trying to build their own personal brand on LinkedIn, the usual challenges we all face on LinkedIn, consistency, burnout, trying to be the imposter syndrome, and so on and so forth. So when I get to inspire them based on my own experiences, I get to get a lot of traction and impressions go really high. The second type of content that really really does well, you find that when I get to share my own personal story, how I get to get into SEO and digital marketing, how I started my own digital marketing agency. These are type of the content that people try to get to resonate with because based on the story that I share, they can easily mirror their own stories and get to pick a lesson or two. So this type of content get to attract them. And the final type of content is on the content where I get to enlighten them more, like I tend to educate. Maybe let's say I'm trying to educate the importance of SEO or how my service can assist them. So when I get to share them why they need this service that I'm trying to offer them, it's easy for them to try to get some connection between me. And most of them all the time, I can say pretty much like 100%, the people that get to reach back to me based on what I'm sharing on the platform, They don't even engage on my comment section. They don't even like the post that I share. They just see a post that stands out for them and they reach out to me in my inbox. And they get to tell me like, you know what, Nick, today we shared about this and this, and I'm really interested in what you're selling. Can you get to have an appointment with you for us to get to know the way forward? So I can say that these three types of posts have really helped me in building my brand. Number one, inspirational posts. Number two, I try to share more about my story. And number three, I get to educate people. So those three types of content really go a long way and have helped me a lot.
Yeah, in my case, of course, we do basically our top product is web design. But I did notice that, you know, I mean, there's you working with SEOs, you understand that. And the design of a website is quite the intricate. There's a lot of little things that go into it, and you could talk about it for hours. Problem is, web design is boring, just amazingly boring. And if you post anything about web design, it just won't do well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even when you get to share, like every single day, you bombard people with SEO. These people get to be bored because I find that not everyone is looking for what we are offering. So every single day when they are certain that when it comes to your page or profile on LinkedIn, all they'll be seeing will be all about SEO, bank links, trying to rank the first page of search engine in your marketing. You find that these people will be bogged and they'll feel like they don't belong in your space, and they'll try to be repulsive of what you are sharing. So that's why when you get to share, to diversify, today maybe educate them why they need SEO, tomorrow try to be creative, share to them your story, the other day maybe try to share more about how they can get to be inspired in the challenging times that we're having, maybe with SEO, with the LinkedIn and the algorithm thing. So this, when you give them a cocktail of this information, it's easy for them to be resonate with you. They get to mirror themselves in your story. And sometimes when the content is not for them, it's okay. They'll give you the engagement. And the more the engagement you get, the more the impressions you get, because it gets to build your traction. So through diversification, it's really, really easy for you to tap to the other untapped market and get to dominate. So one thing most people get wrong is that they think that just because they are in one industry or one niche, maybe say they are a virtual assistant, that what they think that they should supposed to be sharing only about virtual assistant. No, that's very, very wrong. It's okay for you to talk about consistency. You can come and talk about how you can assist people to build their own brand on LinkedIn, or maybe you can share your experience on how you landed your first client. Such things. You find that there are many people on LinkedIn that are struggling on how to navigate their way. Like for my story, when I joined LinkedIn, I didn't even last there 1 week, because when I joined, I had nobody to hold my hand. Faced a lot of challenges. I was struggling with how to get content. The type of content that I showed there was a bit like it was something that I felt it was not for me. I was only seeing professionals talking about big English on LinkedIn, so to speak. So I felt that this type of content, not many people like it. But had I been connected with people that were trying to at least show me the way, I felt that I could not have quitted and not waste 5 years of my life. Because me, I joined LinkedIn 5 years ago. And right now, based on the progress that I've gotten in just 6 months, I'm certain that had I been consistent in the previous 5 years, I'm sure I'll be much further than I am right now. I could have built a very strong company under that time. But still, as I say, all is not lost. Now is our moment, and we can create the future based on the way we want it to look like.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people always say should have done it then. Well, you know, well, then that just goes to tell you. now is the time, I mean, to start. And you can't look at, I mean, and that this is especially the big thing is I joined LinkedIn in 2011.
You told me that.
And I was always in my, you know, I was always in my businesses, and then I spent time with my son at the hockey rink, so I didn't care. And I always perceived LinkedIn as a CV platform, kind of a database of CVs. So I kind of put my professional stuff in it and whatever else, and that was it. And then only when I started thinking about selling or going back to our idea of NC Web Dev and websites, I got to talk to my guys, my team, and they said, well, no, you know, now it's time if you want to do the platforms, because I I've built my Instagram, I've built my, Facebook stuff. And then it comes back to, LinkedIn is kind of becoming sort of Facebook-y. Sort of like Facebook now. It's so much more, and it has become so much more. And I think it's a lot better and, a lot more varied and a better place, because once upon a time, it wasn't an algorithm for posting and stuff. I mean, there was a wall of sorts and they could communicate with people, but it was literally a database of just CVs and just meeting and networking with people and seeing their profiles, seeing their achievements and whatever else. And I think how LinkedIn now developed, I think they've developed in a great way. And I think it's a great platform for that personal brand. And like you said, if you just talk about, how to connect databases into, and how to write anti-hacker code and how, just people are not going to stick around. You're not going to get any traction with that. As vital as that information is and as important it is to web development, you're not going to get any clients on that because people just don't want to be bothered with that. That's why they hire you for.
Yes.
So that's why you noticed my carousel yesterday. I mean, that was that's basically how I, it's like, I was like, what do you do? Well, I build websites. Okay. So, then I made that carousel to kind of explain. I was thinking, how do I explain this to people? Because if you look at, especially with websites, if you look at all these other platforms, that everybody now, GoDaddy has their AI website builder. And it's like, everybody thinks, all the websites are the same. So, he does websites. Yeah, I can just get one over there for like $5, And now there's a lot more that goes into it. But how do you tell that to people? How do you explain it to them? Well, you could take the technical route, which nobody will read.
Yes.
Or you have to go. What?
I'm saying if you take the technical route, they won't understand how you go about it.
Yeah.
So you need to simplify it for them to understand what you're trying to solve them to offer them for them to know for a fact that you're trying to help. They should see us as a resource.
And this is something on YouTube I teach my son as well, and he's like we get to pick a lot of great topics, and I tell him all the time, I says, what defines how your video, which is the same thing for LinkedIn, what decides how your video performs is how people can relate to it. Because if people can't relate to what you're talking about, it could be the greatest news. But if it's not important to them, they don't care.
Absolutely.
It's like, well, how does, let's say, Amazon spied on you. I don't really use Amazon, so what? But it's like, listen, Amazon spied on you and you could get $50,000 for it. Let me check this out. Maybe I'm in the group. I mean, I hate just to use the money aspect. That's just the first thing that came to my mind. But you know what I'm talking about? Like, people are always looking to have, everybody has their own set of issues. Everybody's always looking to improve their life. And if you can present it in a way where they understand it, that's how, and you've got that right on your LinkedIn anyway, because you're growing. So you understand that. But yeah, it's about problem solving and it's about explaining it in terms that people will not even understand. It's just relate to. It's like, I mean, they'll understand a lot of the SEO stuff and a lot of this other, web technical stuff. They can understand it, but that's not the point. The point is, okay, so good. So how does that make my life better? Will I save any time to spend more time with my kids, family, whatever? That's how people look at it. And that's how content's got it. That's how you build your brand is. You have to be, and that's how I started doing that yesterday with the carousel. I was like, yeah, I'm a problem solver, and then that kind of catches more of an interest than saying, yeah, I'm going to get you more clients. You're going to make more money in your business because I have a great website. Just doesn't work.
Right.
But many people mistake in that's the thing that many people mistake for is like, everybody's like, this is what I'm offering. Buy my product. That's not interesting. Everybody says that.
it's very unattractive because when they are certain that they already predict in their mind that when they come to your page on profile, they are certain that the first thing that they'll be seeing is buy for me, buy for me, buy for me. You know, these people, they need to see value first. You're supposed to be giving them like resource, maybe tell them you can apply this on your own, and but if you need help, I'm here to assist you. They should not they should not see you like you're trying to sell them something. You find that people have to buy, but they have to be sold to. So and when you provide them value first, it will be easy for these people to get to buy from you. Because when you tell them, maybe I can show you what you're supposed to be approaching when you are building a website for yourself. Maybe you can use this builder over the other, this website builder over the other. It will be easy for these people to know, like, maybe Karel is only trying to assist me get the perfect website, the website that will load.
Oh, we lost you. I thought it was on my end, but it wasn't. It was on yours. Anyway, so Nick seems to be having some issues. Hopefully he'll be back. Let me try to get him back in here, but maybe just a video. Are you with us with audio or just video? Or
was it my connection or yours?
No, it was yours. You just blacked out the screen. You're gonna see it in an event in 37th minute or 36 something. When you look back at it, you just froze, went black. Nighttime in Kenya, maybe it was a solar eclipse.
I don't know what happened, but like I was saying, people need to see value first, and they should not be seeing like you're after their money. All they're supposed to be seeing that they should see you as a resource, that they should be certain that when they land for in your profile, they'll be getting something. They'll be seeing value. They'll be seeing you, how you're trying to help them solve a certain issue that they're having, and when they can't solve it on themselves, that is when they come and get to seek your help. They come and hire you, and you can from there is how you can get to build something for yourself and maybe get profit. And it's a very important part of building a brand. You should not just be trying to be after people's money. Provide value first, and based on the value that you're sharing out there, they can sometimes they may not be having the problem that you are addressing, but since they know that you give value, they can easily refer you to their friend that they know need your service. So value all the time. You should not be trying to be after people's money.
Yeah, so one thing here, I've been talking to some restaurants and stuff, and they're like, many restaurants here in a smaller towns in America and, you know, across the United States, they have this thing exactly. It's like, we have this philosophy that we just want word of mouth. And I'm like,
in this era,
no, but where do you think word of mouth comes from today? I mean, word of mouth works, and I don't disagree, but exactly like you said, is word of mouth is, yeah, I saw Nick's personal brand, so-called, I mean, to take it into generic terms, not to talk about specifics, I saw Nick's personal brand on LinkedIn. Maybe you should check him out. And that's word of mouth from LinkedIn. So it's like telling me that, oh, you have word of mouth, like, but first you have to get out there to be seen by somebody, to be referred as a word of mouth.
Yes.
And with people spending like 6 hours a day on their phones, 6.5 hours or something like that is the average. I just did that statistic for something, someplace, and it's 6.5 hours people spend on their phone. Just did actually a flyer for the companies that we send out, and it's literally people spend 6.5 hours on their phone average a day. So how do you get into their minds? How do you get into their, like, how do you raise awareness? Well, you raise it where they spend 6.5 hours a day.
you need to get to the to distract them and be in their face. They need to know you exist.
Yeah,
and that's why they need to build your own personal brand and to get to be a bit relevant in this era. Because if you're not visible, you become irrelevant. When people don't see you in their face all the time, you become irrelevant. Yeah. And who will they pick when they need that service? They'll pick that person that always shows up, no matter maybe the traction that they have. Maybe they're not doing so well in this space, but so long as they keep showing up, it will be easy for them to be picked. And that's why it's very important to build something for yourself.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that I see on LinkedIn where creators, we both engage with a lot of different people and stuff, and I see a lot of creators not being there with the consistency. They just take off a week or 2 weeks, then they come back and start posting again, and then they again lose the motivation. And I'm like, that's the worst for me, because like I have, let's say, 10 people that I have like on my list that I engage with or whatever. I don't know how the list is, but sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 15 people. And I go, then sometimes I just pick from the feed, but it depends daily, right? But then when I go to the go-to people, and then like, let's say I have the 10 go-to people that I'm like, all right, I would comment here, 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 and here. And then I go to their, literally there's days that I visit these 10 people, like, and it's not always the same exact 10, but, and they post nothing. I'm like, I'm trying to get engagement. I'm trying to talk to you guys, but you're not posting. And then they don't post for a week or 3 days, 4 days. And I'm like, but you're hurting my business. I can't engage. I have nothing to engage with you.
Yes. You find that consistency is a very big issue. And I feel that even big creators struggle with consistency. People just take like one day off, maybe a week off, 2 weeks off. And they just do it for the sake of doing it. Sometimes we understand. Sometimes life gets into the way. Maybe something has happened. Maybe somebody is sick. That's understandable. But one thing I tell people for sure is that they should try to make some effort. At least make people know about you. Because one funny thing about LinkedIn, the minute somebody fails to see you in their feed is the minute they start forgetting about you. So it's very, very important to be always visible. Be in their face every day.
It's a sea of people out there. So if you disappear, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the ocean, you know, and you watch the sand, it's like the water goes away, but there's another wave that comes in and fills that space. No problem. So you don't have to be here. Somebody else will come in.
Yes. All the time. You are easily replaceable. So
yeah,
consistency is a very big one. It's a very big one. And especially when you're not even like, you find that there are people that I call, I'm trying to avoid this word, but let me just call them newbies. They try to show up today, tomorrow, and they fail to see some traction, maybe disappear for another week, then come and start building again. You find that the mistake that these people do, they believe that when they share content and they fail to get some engagement, they believe people don't see their content. But what happens is that people usually see this their content. It may be that they fail to comment, maybe, but the fact remains, people see your content. So you need to be consistent to build that momentum for yourself. And when you break that momentum, trust you me, you lose a lot of energy to try to restore to be where you were the other time. And that's number one. Number two, you get to affect the people in your community. You find that, for instance, the community that I am right now, they know that when they get to share their content, no matter what happens, I must engage with them. And the same will apply to myself. So when a person just disappeared just like that, you feel that in as much as it may hurt them more, it also affects me indirectly, because I won't be getting the same traction I used to get the other day. So it's very, very important to keep on. So consistency is a very, very big issue.
Yeah. And in your case, and this is something that I want to ask you too, that's a little bit pivoting a little bit from that, but on the type of content, first there's two things, but first I want to ask about on LinkedIn, it's obvious it's in English and stuff, but when you're communicating in Kenya, and how many languages are there spoken in Kenya?
I think there are around 42, 43 local languages in Kenya.
Right. How do you reach out to 42 languages?
Pardon?
How do you reach out to people in 42 languages? That was my question.
We use two languages. Number one is English, the obvious one. And number two, we have Swahili.
Okay, and so basically you have that one language that all of them speak as well.
Swahili,
okay. Yeah, because I was like, because if you in a country where you have that many languages, it's got to be hard to build your brand, but you got to use that. So you use that one language to build that. Okay, because to me, it's like amazing to just, because with each language, and this is an important thing, and it's that this does not only to Africa, but this is everywhere. I mean, it's not only to Kenya. It's people that speak a different language, people are the same around the world generally, like our core is always the same, but there are particulars. And with each language comes a little bit of a different culture and a mindset, sort of. So it's kind of hard to cater to an audience of 42 different mindsets. Let's put it that way. That's my kind of, but do you run into that? Like they think a little bit differently?
Absolutely. They think we all think differently because for many reasons. The background that you are in, maybe the exposure and the view of life, a lot of things. So you really need to find to strike a balance that when you share this type of content, it will not only make them get provoked to take a certain action that you're trying to instill to them, but also try to make it relevant to them. So you're supposed not to be so generic, but again.
And you're disappearing again. There we go.
I don't know what is happening.
I don't know either, but go ahead. You said you're not supposed to be generic, or
Yes, you're not supposed to be so generic, but at the same time, you should not be so rigid to them. You should understand that you are addressing 42 different mindsets, just like you put it. So you're supposed to be like to make to can I say like to tailor it in a way that you believe will make the message be resonance to them.
Yeah, because that was one thing. Because in America, everybody speaks English, and there's a many nationalities, so that's the same, that's a similar thing. I mean, there's many languages. Thinking Queens alone, like Queens, New York, I think is the smallest piece of land, real estate region, district, whatever you want to call it, municipality. And just in Queens alone, which is a very small place, is like 126 languages are spoken, something like that, because of
That's
all
a
the
lot.
immigrants. Yeah, so that's kind of a little bit different, but everybody's there at least has that, they're in the same city and they kind of have the similar mindset. So it's kind of, but yeah, you could cater to each of the communities. But like you said, if you do it generically enough, but keep in mind that there is specifics, so you got to kind of focus that. But yeah, it's but that's one thing about, like, last time I had Essie on, and she's from Togo, and they have like 60 something languages. So it's just, to me,
So
that's
many,
mind-boggling for a country to speak that many languages. It's just because it's not also a big country. It's not like it's a big area and stuff. And that's why it's got to be hard to communicate a lot of things, and especially business. But I guess, when it comes to the end of the day, money talks.
it does.
If you could improve the other person's life by helping them get more, whether it's money, customers, or whatever else, access to information, I guess you got a winner no matter what language anybody speaks. And then the other thing, and then there's something that we said we touch upon periodically as well, which is the brand coherence. And we talked about the other platforms as well. Are you on other platforms too? Like, or how well are you doing on other platforms? And what messaging do you do across the platforms?
One thing that it is worth noting is that your brand messaging should need to be consistent across all the platforms. For myself, I'm also on X, and you find that the same message I'm preaching on LinkedIn is the same one that I'm preaching on X. So when you get to X, the approach could be different a bit, but the message is clear. I'm selling SEO as a digital marketing service. So in as much as the platform is different with a different audience, the message needs to be to remain one, to be one. Also, on platforms like Instagram, maybe Facebook, I'm also present there. But if there is one platform that I am yet to explore is in TikTok. I'm not so good with making videos, and I believe that are you there, Carol? Are
Yes.
you
I
with me?
just had to clear my nose. Didn't want to make the sound.
Oh,
So I shut myself off to not be in a street, just making noise over your speech. But go ahead, you were talking about TikTok.
Yeah, so I'm saying that in as much as I'm into other social media platforms, I'm not so big in TikTok because getting to record myself speaking on videos is something that I'm still learning. And as a matter of fact, I haven't even posted even one single post on TikTok, but I'm just there to consume the content present there. There are some great people that I'm following. They're sharing a lot of quality stuff to do with how to grow a business, how to grow your brand, how to thrive on LinkedIn, maybe how you can go, how to get maybe a thing or two. And I get to love it because you find that the kind of content they share is in short video. So even if you're busy, it's easy for you to get value, maybe in a video that lasts maybe 30 seconds, maybe a minute, maybe 5 minutes. So I really get to find a lot of value. But if there is one thing that is worth noting for people in the audience, is that you can be in more than one platform. In fact, it's very advisable to build in more than one platform, because you never know about tomorrow. The other day, LinkedIn was down. So when LinkedIn is down, does it mean that your business should also be down? Not really. So it's important to build in more than one platform. The second platform that I selected to build my brand in is X. Currently, I'm having about 2,000 followers on X, and I'm really liking the traction that I'm getting also there. I am yet to build a community around that on X, but I'm certain that what I'm sharing on Instagram, on LinkedIn, sorry, is the same messaging that I'm sharing on X. So it's very, very important to do that. The brand must cohere in that what you're sharing about LinkedIn, what you're selling should be the same one that you are sharing in X and all the remaining platforms. All you need to do is just to customize it based on the audience that is present there.
Yeah, because the communication is a little bit different, definitely.
Yes.
And yeah, I still call it Twitter anyway. I don't know what X is.
I really don't know.
He's trying to here and there, but he's busy with the YouTube and stuff. But he posts about history. He's a big history student. So he just said, let me build an X Twitter. At the time, it was still Twitter anyway. But he says, I'm going to build a Twitter channel and talk about history and engage with history people. Because he just wants to, you know, likes to discuss history. So he has a business model or whatever, or the messaging brand, whatever, that he posts about interesting stories out of history. And then he describes and he talks about it. He talks about the facts and some less known facts about it. So he researches into a lot of detail these historical events, because, you know, especially with government, history gets rewritten every time a new government comes in. I mean, that happened in Czech Republic, that happened in Kenya, I'm sure you know about that. Every new leader comes in and says, well, no, this used to be our history, now it's different. And so my son kind of likes to study in versions of the history and, you know, take the best out of it and stuff like that. But, you know, history changes. But anyway, he started doing it and he got a couple of things. He got a couple of posts. And I think just very quickly, with just a few posts after a couple of weeks, he was able to get I think he got over 100,000 impressions or something, and some retweets or whatever else. So that worked pretty well, because he found a niche that just works well for him. And it's not so common, because not too many people go into such depth in history. So they found it interesting to read his articles. So yeah, so I know Twitter X works well, but I'm not on that. I decided to be just here. Because LinkedIn for me is like B2B, so that's gonna be my primary. And then with the YouTube, I tried to have that to be my son. I mean, we are on YouTube right now as well, because I stream it there, to have sort of a easy. I find YouTube to be easier to access to videos than LinkedIn, because LinkedIn you would have to go into history a lot, and that's kind of difficult on LinkedIn. So on YouTube, you just go into the live stream on our channel and you find it there 6 months later with ease. Where on LinkedIn, if you had to find this video. On YouTube, it's easy. And here you would have to, like, if you want to go look for a six-month-old video on my wall, you just basically have to scroll all the way down. I mean, that's just the difficult part. But video is definitely a big part. And so you didn't start your YouTube channel yet?
Not really. I'm not so good in video. Maybe later on, I'm considering it, because I need to polish my skills. Maybe video editing, how to come up with a good thumbnail. There's a lot involved in videos, but it is something that is really into consider. I'll put into consideration in the future.
Well, with video, you know what the number one rule is? You got to start.
Absolutely. All the time.
But you do have to devote the time to it. That's the thing. Is you do. You just can't. I mean, everybody will tell you it's easy. Oh, just hit the record button and you're on. And it's true. You could get it done that way. And for LinkedIn now, I mean, we talked about it in the past too. It's LinkedIn is now wants vertical videos. That's what they're pushing in their algorithm. We'll get priority and we'll get a better boost from their algorithm. If you do a vertical TikTok, YouTube short style video that's under 90 seconds. YouTube Shorts has 60 seconds. What works best is 30 seconds on YouTube. And I don't think it's because of YouTube. I think it's because of people's attention span. People just don't spend a lot of time with your stuff. It's just get me to meet, and that's it.
Give me the message.
And get out. That's it. So, but I would recommend you try the LinkedIn videos, the verticals, and you could test it here. And then let's see where it takes you. I mean, let's see what impressions you're gonna get. I would recommend that because it's easy and you don't have to do a lot of editing. I don't think, you know, I mean, on TikTok, you have to get, because I know with YouTube Shorts, my son has this whole template that he uses that he puts in, and it's got to have the animations of the words. It's got to have some, you know, visuals or whatever else. But I think on LinkedIn, it's just simple. You don't have to be too fancy about it. So I think if I was you, I'd just try to do some videos on LinkedIn like that, just simple ones. And you'll see, and then you can let us know how the performance was.
How about the duration on videos for LinkedIn?
They said 90 seconds, but like I said, I think what YouTube tells you for shorts, because it is a similar format. That's why I'm just comparing it. Their optimal, they said, is 15 seconds. That's like the minimum, but it's also like what they want you to do is 15 second video. Problem with a 15 second video is you're not gonna get any message out.
Absolutely.
Okay, because 50, like you don't understand how difficult until you sit there and you watch the clock when you're recording yourself. You're like, it's second 12 and I only said hello. And I have five more things to say. And I've done this, so that's why I can talk about that. It's like, and I'm like, I'm just going to keep this short. And about the 25th second, I'm like, well, I'm about halfway through my material. I got a one-minute limit. And so, you know, here on LinkedIn, they give you more because they want you to be professional. So you have a 90-second limit. But generally speaking, a rule of thumb is we could get a good message out on YouTube. My son's speaking faster. I like to speak a little slower because, you know, sometimes whatever. But sometimes I just, you know, it's just like if you try to get a lot of words out, because I can't do scripted stuff. I do everything ad lib. Like I'll prepare material, but I'll just improvise. I'll just talk like right now. I didn't even prepare a set of questions. I'm just going like to, because I kind of know what we're going with this. And I'm just kind of like, because if I remember the questions, what happens? So if I write down the questions or if I start scripting stuff, I tense up. I start thinking about it because I have an OCD thing. So I'm like, I'm trying to like ask the question properly. Is it exactly the hell with it? Just talk. I hate doing scripted stuff because it just stresses me out. But yeah, so that's why I talk even a little bit slower. My son kind of has it done well and he's improved a lot, but he does well around 30 to 40 seconds. Those are the best videos. If he gets to a minute, the closer he gets to a minute, the retention drops. So if I was you, that's what I would be aiming for, trying to make a video between 30 to 40 seconds, even though you have a bigger limit. But still, you're going to lose a lot of people after that. You know, like I said, YouTube gives you a minute, but unless you have like dogs singing with hats on and some really, you know, one of those, you know, a pizza rat video in New York that was, you know, unless you have that type of content that will just, you know, funny movies, funny clips and stuff, because that people will watch till the end because they never know what the next one is. But if you're trying to get out a message, you'll lose people at about 30 seconds. Oh, that's too long. Yeah, it's interesting, but it's too long. Unless it's like, well, if you wait 59 seconds, I'll give you $1 million. Then they'll wait the 59 seconds. But
yes.
Yeah. So that's what I would say. I would say that you just use it. Just go try to aim for 30 to 40 seconds. Those are the best ones that you get any kind of a professional message out. And it's a reasonable amount of time for you to actually say something meaningful. Because if you could get it out in 3 seconds, great. You'll get 100% attention span. But good luck.
Logically, 3 seconds is not enough for you to say something meaningful. Maybe I can say 40 seconds is possible. You just go direct to the point. You don't bluff and fluff, and it will be easy for you to get to pass your message out there. And but let's say based on the audience that I have right now, I'm sure when they get to see videos from me, it will be easy for them to get the message as opposed to reading through the copy that I share every single day. So that is something that I'm really willing to, and I'll sit down, come up with a good plan, and just start sharing videos.
Yeah, that's basically my biggest problem. Is I could do videos. I speak. I've done them on YouTube, but my biggest problem is I kind of have a way with the carousels. I'll do some of the posts that, you know, because I'm a writer. I always written, so I kind of like just write. I do the carousels, but the problem is to come up with a video content. It's a separate kind of preparation. It's kind of like you have to have a whole list of things, again, to prepare for and whatever. And I didn't get into that video, although I will. I'm planning on it, but I think you froze on us again. Are you? Did you or no? Do we have you still on here? Nick has disappeared again.
I think I'm having issues with my, is it connection or what? But I'm back.
There you are. No, I said with video, I just don't have the list of you have to prepare a separate whole thing of content for videos, and you kind of got to go through each topic separately. It takes some preparation. I mean, on the average, when my son prepares the video, so like he has to read some articles, he has to get an opinion on it, he has to form his own opinion, then it's got to put out there, then he's got to do the video editing. But just the preparation part, I would say, would take him a good half hour for one topic, because, you know, you got to kind of think about it. And then because 30 seconds is good enough time to get a lot of messaging out, and you want to get it out the right way. So you kind of want to prepare your thoughts of how you're going to say it. And then for the YouTube, he also does the whole post editing, which takes somewhere between a half hour to an hour. So one video was probably somewhere between 1 to 2 hours. The YouTube short of total preparation time. Whereas here on LinkedIn, you probably could do it in a half an hour because you just hit the record and then that's it. Once you prepare that in your mind. But yeah, it's again, it comes down to time. That's why I haven't been able to get to that. But yeah, if you prepare a whole scheduling calendar kind of topics to talk about and you kind of give yourself some pointers, it's completely different. Again, it's a whole different topic, and for me, I was like, I'm still getting ready for that. I'm like, yeah, I'll start doing it. It's not a problem, but
with time, we'll all be there.
Yeah. Yes. So so what else? So you do the X, and what about Instagram?
Instagram, I'm there for my. I'm not trying to build my business in Instagram. I'm just there for my personal consumption. Like I just share, just getting to share more about my life experience. Because I know one thing for sure is that the type of service that I'm selling, it's very hard for me to get clients there. That's why I focus too much on LinkedIn and X and Twitter. You call it Twitter. So I get to focus much on LinkedIn and Twitter to get to build my brand.
Thank you for that, Twitter. Kind of like, yeah, you call it whatever you want. We got Twitter. So yes, tell him yes. Musk, you could call it whatever you want. You could call it XYZ. I don't care. It's still Twitter. It's got the bird, and if it doesn't matter. It used to have the bird.
Yeah. So Instagram and Facebook, I'm just there to for my own personal consumption, but I don't even spend any time anymore there. I'm just there in name. Like I have an account there, I have some connections and friends there, but I hardly share content around there. I'm just there for my own personal content. What I get to do is that based on the brand that I'm building right now, the Iconic Digital Marketing, the company, the agency. And I do consume the other platforms to get to share more about what we are selling. Just like to try and have an online presence for my organization. So maybe I just get there to get to see how we are performing, or maybe the type of content that is receiving some great reception, maybe how we can get to tweak the poster we are making, and so on and so forth. But for my own consumption, I'm trying to build business, not really.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to have the backlinks as far as SEO and stuff, of course. So you want to keep that consistent. But yeah, so I do have an NC Web Dev Instagram channel as well, or whatever the profile. but I don't post anything on it because exactly like you said, it's business to business. I mean, for example, when we work with restaurants, I think their number one platform is actually Instagram. I think that's the number one platform to market restaurant stuff in. And it's, again, it's got to be good. And the biggest mistake I see with a lot of restaurants is because they understand it. Like all the restaurant owners understand that Instagram is their biggest platform. But then they show these weird pictures on there. And I'm like, but that's not, like, again, it's the same thing. You have to stand out. And if you don't have like high quality images with an idea, with a message, it's, you're just, you know, you might as well not be doing it. It's not going to be, if you don't make it engaging, and it's a different type of platform. And for personal branding, Instagram, I think completely sucks. I think for any technical things, completely sucks. And I think the number one thing would be food.
Lifestyle, generally lifestyle, travel, food, adventure,
fashion, and travel and fashion. Yeah. Those would be the three top things. I think food above all. I think that's just, you know, Instagram is a food platform, and then number two would be travel and fashion, somewhere in between. So like, and you know, and then I see a lot of the restaurants. They put like, oh, you know, we have a whole menu, and they post a whole lot of text, and that's the biggest mistake on Instagram. Is you don't put any text on Instagram, because if once you do, you lose the people, because people don't come in there to read. They come to read to LinkedIn. They don't come read to Instagram. So as soon as you put more than like one word on there, you lost your. Yeah, and so that's the thing about it. Like if you want to build a brand, it's good to be on all the platforms, but don't expect the performance from some. And for us, for SEO and digital marketing and stuff, for website design, like how am I gonna explain code through images? You know, it just doesn't work. So it's like you got to make sure you stay consistent in your messaging, and you also have the audience there.
And also, it's very important for you to get to know what works for you, because you find that, for instance, the business that I'm in right now, it is more of a business to business. And you find that a different person might be building a different brand that is more into maybe like business to customer. So for them, Instagram can be a resource for them. But for me, it is not a resource for me. It assists when it comes to SEO and getting those backlinks to help my website rank high. But from the perspective of getting to establish a great online presence, it is not worth it. Because how will I show more about having a great user interface on Instagram? It will be boring, and even I will not be getting the people that I'm targeting. So we really need to understand who we are and what we're trying to promote. Yes, we are all unique in our own ways and based on the growth that we have.
Yeah, definitely. And I follow a lot of the food. You know, I have my own food Instagram. I don't know if you ever checked it out, but probably not. But you check it out. It's basically beer, food, and hockey stuff or whatever, because with my summer we traveled again. But yeah, I follow a lot of foodies, and I've interacted, I've engaged with a lot of people, and my top post got 255 likes. And it's funny because I only have like 1,000 followers, and I got like hundreds of likes. You know, like I think I was at the top, I had like 1,300, 1,400, up to 1,500 or something like that. And I get like hundreds of likes. And then I go to restaurants, and they have 5,000, 10,000 followers. And I'm looking at it, and they have 5 likes on their post.
It doesn't make sense.
I'm like, do you understand that it's like you posting on Instagram to promote your restaurant and having 10,000 followers and having 5 likes is basically like a waste of time? Mm-hmm. If you don't do it at all, it would be the same. But yeah, I know. They told us we have to be on Instagram. Yes, but do you want it to be effective? Because you're not really building your brand on Instagram. If you only get 5 likes,
you're not just doing it for the sake of doing it. Otherwise, it will be an expensive hobby.
Yeah, exactly. And then that's the most important thing about branding is you want to show. It's basically like showing off. You just want like, look how good I am. Otherwise, you're like, if you're not doing that, you're disappearing into the depths of the sea of the internet, as I say, like the jungle, it'll like just disappear in there. It's like, and you never come out. It's strange, but that's what branding is. That's how you got to stick with brand, and yeah, and it's hard, and especially again, keeping the message. How are you gonna transmit the message from across all the platforms? Well, some of them you will not fit on. You know, even in Pinterest is the same way. How do you know? There's like, oh, Pinterest is a great, but they're all great platforms. There's like two, three, I think it's 250 something social media platforms out there. Now they're considering WhatsApp as a social platform as well, and it could be debated, but I don't care. The fact is can you put your message across all those platforms
And be effective.
and be effective? Otherwise, do it as a hobby, be there, or be there just to get the backlink, but don't worry about it. You know, Reddit, Pinterest, all that is like some platforms are better for something, others are for other. Like Facebook, I don't use it all. Like I go on there once a week. I used to be on there all the time because I have a Facebook group of 10,000 people. But I don't go there anymore because just Facebook is off my so far like priority list. I take Facebook as a sort of a joke, but then for restaurants again, it's a big communication channel.
Absolutely,
It
absolutely.
definitely is. And again, it's like as much as I could ridicule Facebook for myself and for my professional brand, and I just like I said, it's a joke to me. But for other businesses, it could be the top platform. And it definitely is, especially at restaurants, because restaurants and these types of places, even hotels and stuff, they can communicate easy with the customers. They could tell them, oh, listen, this is the updates, and people will follow and stuff. So it does have a following. But yeah, keeping the same message. Like if I would post the same types of posts that I do on LinkedIn, if I would put on Facebook, and I did that for a while too, you get nothing there. Nothing. Even with
Absolutely.
Again, I got over 1,000, connections on Facebook. The feedback, the engagement, the virality, I guess you could say, or some kind of, effectiveness impressions. They're just not there for that content that I'm doing for LinkedIn. So it's kind of that's a little tricky. So it's got to be, I would say, industry by industry. You got to always assess that. Is like, is that platform really worth it? And yeah, sometimes it's not. And then for SEO and stuff is, yeah, good luck. Go to Facebook
And
and
try your luck. But for some people, I've seen some people that they're trying to utilize the Facebook groups and get to sell their services as freelancers. All they do, they just put the name, like maybe they just they are freelancers, maybe they are copywriters, and then try to sell their services. Yes, it works for them, but the approach is different. They don't just get like a page, then be selling their services. That would be a lot of complexity and technicality. So they just go there and try to put clickbaits for people that are looking for their services. And when they do, they personalize the approach, they get to their inbox, try to keep the conversation rolling and get some agreement, maybe hop on a call with them, and they get to secure their clients. But for me, it's very different. The reason I cannot do that is that I position myself as an organization. I'm having my team. So it's very different for me to get and start pitching to people like that. All I have is just put a presence there, an online presence there on Facebook, so that when somebody asks about my company page, they can see it actually, and they can track how far we've been doing what we are doing, and maybe put some testimonial, maybe one or two there, and it will be easy for them to get to give us some credibility as far as what we are selling is concerned. And what most people forget is that it's worth for me to say, the fact that yes, SEO is what I'm known for in my brand, but when you come to my organization, I sell more than just SEO. We have things to do like graphic design, we have web development, we have content writing, and so on and so forth. So how did this come into place? You find that when you're building a brand, you should be known for one thing. At the start of this session, I mentioned that it is very, very important for you to personalize your building of a brand. Like you should be known for that one particular thing. For me, it's SEO. So by the credibility that I've and authority that I've garnered based on what I'm selling, SEO, I've been able to establish myself in these other services that I'm also offering. So these other services, it will be hard for me to build a brand around all these other services at a
Absolutely.
go Why not for me to focus on the other one at the first place? So it's very perfect for you to diversify, very recommendable. But at the start, just start with focusing on one thing, build it and be as authentic as possible. And the minute it's there, it will be easy for you to get and diversify and get to have like this wide net for you to grab a big chunk of the market.
And you will also overwhelm the people. If you do a lot of content, they will not be able to categorize you.
And confuse them too. It's very confusing.
You confuse them and you lose them. You confuse them and lose them. Because people ask me, what do you do? It's, can you do this? Can you? I'm like, me and my team can do anything online, from building a simple website to building a complex e-commerce website to building complex mobile apps, web applications. You know, I got a very good team of developers. And so we're very spread out. Of course, with graphic design, of course, my son does all the videos. You know, we could do long videos, short videos. We could do a lot of stuff. But the thing is how do you exactly put that out? Like, you go to a client, you say, what are you offering? Well, I'm offering this and this and that. And then what are you going to go, 27 different things? Then I got to remember even what you do. Like, yeah, he does something online. He does one of those weird things or whatever. So, yeah, focus, narrow-minded. That's why I only do
hard for them to trust you in the first place.
Yeah, that's why the only thing I do is web design. And, you know, the fact that I do 30,000 different other things, like translations, I was able, you know, I write all my life, so I'm also a content writer. But what do I want to be known for? It's not content writing. You know, it's the web design. And that's what we're doing. We're primarily focusing on web design. And that's where you build a brand. That's where you do is like web design.
I get it.
So it's past 9:30 my time. So we started 50 minutes late, but we're now running 5 minutes long, sort of, with the time lapse. So it's kind of balances out. But I guess it's come time to some final tips and tricks. And how do you get to 100,000 followers in 1 month, let's say? You talked about the clickbaits. This is exactly the clickbaits I hate.
The clickbait. One that I've found that works perfect for me, number one. There are two that I'll share today. Number one is that when you're trying to create content on LinkedIn, it's very important that you get to look on the hook that you are sharing. The hook that you are putting for your copy is supposed to be a hook that will be able to trigger curiosity. For these people to get to click more on what you are sharing on that particular content. When there is curiosity there, there'll be need for them to come and feed that curiosity. And that's how they get to go through your copy. When they go through your copy, it will be easy for them to get to engage and get to maybe get to interact with your post. And the more the engagement you get, the more the traction you get, the more the impressions you get. So that's one. Number two is on the content structure. You find that the other day I shared more about you writing for schemas. You should not be writing for people that are just being there for the sake of it. So you're supposed to be avoiding writing in blocks. When I say writing in blocks, I'm trying to say that you should avoid writing in paragraphs, because people are bugged and they're busy. They have a lot of things to do. So when they find your content boring and in paragraphs, it will be hard for these people to go through your content. So you're supposed to be coming up with a good format. The farthest you can have in a paragraph, maybe three lines, it should not surpass that. And you can utilize listicles, very, very important. Maybe build in a format that is ascending and descending, or descending to be ascending in terms of structure, the way it appears. Something that is very appealing to the eye. When somebody looks, it will be easy for them to skim and for them to get to pick a thing or two about your content. You find that LinkedIn is a platform for professionals. And most of these professionals actually don't have time to go through your content. So number one, when you have a good hook, it will be able to stop the scroll. when they're scrolling through LinkedIn, they'll be able to stop and get to be curious about what you're sharing. And when you have simplified it, there's some more for them. And they are sure that the format that is present there is one that is appealing. It will be easy for them to go through your content, to skim through and get an idea of what you are sharing. If it interests them, they can be touched, maybe come and engage and even comment on your post. And it will be helping you in getting to make your post go viral. And when they find your content more appealing to them, it will be easy for them to act as leads to you. They can repost, number one, and number two, they can be able to come to your inbox and get to inquire more about how you can be of assistance to them. So those two tips are very, very important. I'm not just saying them for the sake of saying them. I've applied them myself and they have worked magic for me. And of course, that's one among many other things. The other thing that I can advise people in the audience today is that I like telling people that they should treat their LinkedIn profile as a landing page. This tells that they should be having a great banner, a banner that clearly indicates and tells what they are offering and how they'll be able to be of assistance to the people that you are targeting. Once you understand who is your ideal client profile and your buyer persona, it will be easy for you to know how you will be able to be of assistance to them. Understand their pain points, address them every single day in your post. And when you have like a great banner that showcases this, how clearly you can be of value to them, it will be easy for them to get to come to your inbox and get to inquire more of what you do. Number two, when it comes to your headshot, it should be clear. It should show your face clearly, because I'm certain for people that have gone into my profile, they see that the person that is speaking here right now as Nick is the same one that is in my profile. Like, I'm not trying to personalize anyone. It's me. The name should be clear. The tagline also should be clear and should contain the keywords based on just for you to rank high. Yeah, based on what you are trying to sell. For me, it's SEO. So SEO is clearly indicated there. Somebody can easily know what I'm selling them. Of course, when you proceed to features like the about section, the about section should be just about your story, how you can you connect what you are trying to sell and how you ended up deciding to be promoting what you're promoting. People can get to utilize the featured section. The featured section is a big one. Many people don't know how to utilize the featured section. Here, me, I like trying to create a link where people can get to book a one-on-one with me for me to help them navigate through how they can make their services be known and visible in the online space. One mistake that I've seen people doing is that I find that most people trying to identify a post that went viral and they come and pin it in the featured section. That is very, very wrong. In as much as it may be feeding your ego, but it will be stealing from your bank account. Because when somebody sees a post that trended for you or went viral, there is nothing in for them, really. It's actually trying to make you to build your ego and maybe trying to tell you that you are doing good. You may be doing good, yes, but in as far as leads and lead generation is concerned, it will be hurting you very, very well. So that, among many more, is what I've been applying for myself, and it has been doing me well, and I'm continuing to perfect it some more. I'm sure we are all a work in progress, and every single day we get to learn a thing or two. Most of the things that I'm sharing to you with people today, I didn't just know about them 6 months ago when I started being consistent on LinkedIn. Most of these, felt that I learned them maybe at even a month or two ago. So we need to be lifelong learners. Every single day, we're supposed to be students of life and get to be picking a thing or two about what we are coming into interaction with. Every single day, life teaches. It's all about us to pick what will work for us and experiment. If it is for us, well and good. If not, no problem. We are still be able to experiment and get to gain value from what we get to interact with every single day.
No, absolutely. And thank you for that. Because I would agree, and especially now, imagine you didn't know this 6 months ago. Now imagine how you're going to see today's video in 6 months. You'd be like, oh, I was saying that stuff. Wow, it's amazing. God, this is so how wrong I was back then. I'm doing things so differently now. It's like, and yeah, so 6 months to a year, we look at a different perspective, but that's what we're doing right now. And it's again, my word that I hate the most now on LinkedIn is journey, but yeah, it's a development project. And just like a website is never finished. Like, people are like, oh, I finished my website. I'm like, no, you did not. It's never finished. There's always updates. There's always changes. There's always tweaks. And yeah, so you try some strategies, and then what? But the reason is, it's not because you're doing it wrong, is because even the algorithm changes. And basically, I've developed a my LinkedIn new profile like a year and something ago. And then just yesterday, by the way, one of my favorite influencers I follow, Luke Matthews, has put out a 100 megabyte PDF about the newest ways to tweak your profile, how to set it up, your LinkedIn profile. So I'm about to like sort of dive into that, and then just again, just readjust all of my things on a profile, because there's new things, there's new features that LinkedIn has introduced. And then your profile's got to look a little bit different in order to work better. So it's not that you did it 6 months ago wrong. It's just now a different set of rules applies. So you got to, you know, like, well, you know, it's got that. Oh, well, yeah, because back then it worked. Now, you know, in 2024, we just got to use a different strategy. So that's basically about that. But yeah, you're definitely right. And yeah, we'll always be learning. And this is why it's important to just come sit down and have these even live sessions. I enjoy that. I like to do it every week with somebody, always, you know, kind of change up the people that I talk to. And then, you know, periodically, you could always come back and do the same conversation. If no earlier than in 6 months, and then we can compare the two perspectives that we had 6 months ago or back then. And it's like, you know, man, this is, you know, once upon a time it used to be, and now it's different and all that. So we'll see. But yeah, definitely keep learning, keep evolving, you know, and keep growing. And yeah. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out and for talking. Always good seeing you. Always good talking to you. And I'll be looking forward to engaging with your content. And thanks for everybody who showed up and who took the time out of the day to even listen to us. Thank you, guys.
Yes.
Have a good one.